relationship to affliction. Let me say it again. Can you hear me behind? What is it? God has never granted immunity to His people from affliction. That means, I can't say that if I confess, if I say something that I know, if I'm in trouble and I'm caught, or I say something and I'm given immunity, that there will be no problem today. In the world today of politics, when there is corruption, a person can come in and if he confesses, then they grant him immunity. He won't be penalized for the problems if he is a what we call what whistleblower. There is a tendency to think that we as believers will be granted immunity just because we are Christians, just because we are in Christ. It is a fallacy, it is error, it is a wrong understanding of the nature and character of God. God is not out to injure His people. God is out to redeem His people. God is out to deliver His people. God is out to encourage His people. God is out to motivate His people. God is out to edify His people. God is out to reprove His people. Sometimes He rebukes, He exhorts, He admonishes, He ministers, He leads, He guides, He strengthens, He encourages. God is out to do these things. The reason why He's out to do these things is because the devil wants God's people to think that we will be kept from affliction. And if there's anything that happens to us in relationship, in our relationship to God, that is affliction, then He would want to beautifully come in and cause us to be centered in the fact that something is wrong with us. Number one. Number two, that God is not happy with His people. You see, God is interested in the prosperity of His people. God intends that the believer prospers in body and soul. He's interested, but the devil wants to come and rob God's people of their prosperity. Their prosperity that is rooted in the nature and character of God. Not the prosperity that is rooted in the world system, but the prosperity that is rooted in God's kingdom, that is rooted in God's eternal value system. That kind of prosperity. So we have in the moment, the time that we have, God beautifully wanting to do something with His people. In the book of Exodus, we begin to see that is a book of redemption. God bringing people out of bondage, out of slavery. He's bringing them out by a strong and mighty arm. That same arm is available to us today. You know, when you are strong and big and you are there and the child is 1 and 2 years old, you tend to offer your arm for them and they catch your arm and you pull ups, you know. How many of you recognize it? You know, okay, yeah. And the kid is like, wow, look at those biceps. The kid grows up and the kid says, mechanically, can you keep your arm out? And you're like, no. People sometimes, because they have grown up, they don't need God's arm anymore. They think God's arm needs my wisdom. What is it? Or God's wisdom needs my strength. It's possible to start thinking like that over a period of time. But God does something unique. He does communicate the intent of His decree, but He exposes His people to conditions that are adverse and contrary to common sense and human wisdom. This He does with the majority of the people, But he does disclose his secrets to those people that are intimate with him in Psalm 25 verse 14. So when a man of God comes and a woman of God, and God has revealed something to them mystically through the Holy Spirit in the Word of God to them as they are intimate with him, they begin to communicate what God has invested in them through the intimacy that they share with him. And the majority of the people listen to it and they are excited about what God is saying through them in terms of the initiation. But then when they hit trouble or they hit the roadblocks or obstacles, they begin to question. What do they begin to question? They begin to question the sacred secret or the promise that was given to that individual by God himself. Therefore, at that moment of time, the adversary, who is the devil, comes in and he starts interpreting what God has said from the viewpoint of his wisdom, which is fallen and iniquitous in nature. You understand that? In many ways, this kind of wisdom that he offers brings in a sense of release, or there is a falsity in it, because it does provide temporal security in what the adversary has to say. I want you to consider these passages briefly. God knows the end from the beginning, correct? Isaiah 46:10. God has all knowledge, God has self-knowledge about himself, and God has foreknowledge. Therefore, God knows the end in relationship to what he has decreed. He must. He is God. He has made a way. He has made a provision in relationship to what he has revealed. Therefore, there can be no afterthoughts with God in relationship to any contingencies or any emergencies that you and I go through. There cannot be an afterthought with God in relationship to the emergencies and the contingencies that you and I face. That means God is not caught unaware of certain situations as they happen in our lives, because he is fully taken into account all these contingencies and emergencies, and he has decreed that he will be there with us in those situations. Correct? Yes or no? Speak to me. Therefore, it does not matter if I am weak. It does not matter if I fail. The issue is not to live in my weakness and my failure. Not to make lame excuses as an individual, as Felix says, to quit. Because God never does that on us. Not to become familiar with these things. Not to be indifferent. But to be in a place where we can experience in a certain measure. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His glorious might. God wants to demonstrate that towards us. He wants to demonstrate that towards us. When we were yet sinners, when we were helpless, when we were without strength, correct? Enemies. Christ, while we were that, how much more now will he, what, save us because of his life, while we were that, you know, in Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So the believer now is brought into this amazing situation where he must trust and believe that even though our foe, an adversary, an enemy, the devil, is greater than us by virtue of his creation, he is not greater than our God. Hello? The strength of the adversary, or we can say that sometimes the weakness of God, as mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is much greater than the strength of the enemy. Or we can say the foolishness of God is much greater than the wisdom of the end. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians. They loved wisdom and beauty and power and strength and virtue. There were all these different contests, bodybuilding, beauty pageant, wrestling, all kinds of things. They were really interested in courage, virtue, etc. The only thing, it was sometimes done in a manner that was very vile. But listen to this. God manifested himself. I'll close in a few moments. I have a few illustrations. God manifested himself in Egypt with great power. He broke the pride of Egypt, correct? Through the 10 plagues that he sent. Pharaoh had no other option but to let Israel go. But Pharaoh, in his heart, was not convinced that that was the right thing for him to do, even though by sight he had no other option but to do it. It is just not God's intent to set his people free. It is God's intent to bring the enemy to naught as he sets his people free. It is not God's intent just for the believer to receive the forgiveness of sin. It is God's intent for the believer to be freed from sin. That means no longer is he a slave of sin. Even though he was guilty of it at a point of time, he is no longer a slave to it because he has been, as Sarvan said, liberated from it. But God is just not interested in freeing his people. He is also interested in the overthrow of the government that brings his people into bondage. So I am not, or we are not self-centered as people in terms of thinking of our deliverance. We are, as we are delivered, we are also more interested in the honor of God. So as he delivers us, we are also thinking of the overthrow of that satanic kingdom of which we were once in bondage to. That means you and I are not sentimental anymore to the things of the world system, because that is the system from which you and I were delivered from darkness into light. How many of you understand that? That is why it's very important for us to recognize this as believers. We are just not living for ourselves, we are living unto. That means at some point of time, there will be decisions made in our lives to enter into some form of living that is at ease, and some form of living that will enter into forms of compromise, some forms of living where we will enter into complacency, we will enter into our comfort zone, we will think of ourselves, we will think of our kids, we will think of our families, we will think of everything else, and nothing wrong with being a steward of these things, but we will think of these things at the expense of disregarding the person of God. So, Pharaoh, when he's sitting there on his throne and he is powerless, what is it? The devil also is sitting on the throne. He is powerful by virtue of his government, but he is powerless in relationship to him contesting God. But he is now targeting God's people that he knows he has an advantage over as an invisible spiritual being that is fallen with a host of demonic angels at his disposal and tremendous wisdom and experience that he has over 6,000 years of human history. But listen to the statement by Pharaoh himself. God is speaking to Moses and telling him when the people go out, Pharaoh will change his mind, etc. But in the book of Exodus chapter 14, verse 3, God is saying, because he knows Pharaoh's confession in advance, For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. See that? He did not learn his lesson from the plagues in Egypt. What is it? He did not learn his lessons from the plagues in Egypt. Remember, his heart is so hardened. Now, when the news comes to him that he should not have allowed, when the people had fled, when the king of Egypt told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people. It would be one thing for him to have a change of heart in 14:5 towards God. No. You see that what happened there? The wilderness has shut them. Really? Has the wilderness shut them in? The wilderness has shut them in. The Red Sea is in front of them. Therefore, there was no way. What? So what does the entire nation of Israel do? We are sorry that we disobeyed you, Pharaoh. Immunity. The entire 1.5 million people put their hands up. Immunity. We want immunity. What is it? This guy is the culprit. Who? Moses. I have seen it with, and we guard our hearts. I've seen it in 31 years of being a believer. When people exit, there may be many genuine reasons. They get a transfer, they go. But I'm talking of when they make exits from the kingdom, from kingdom calling. The reason why they do it is because they want immunity in their Christian life. And God does not guarantee that for the Christian. Because God is much greater than everything else in the world. He is before me in my personal life. He is before me in my marriage. He is before me in my family. He is before me in my job. He is before me in my call. He is before me in everything. He is before me. He is preeminence in my life as a person. And no matter what happens in our lives as believers, God will always be there for us. And because he can trust the faithful in the land, he will allow the faithful to experience affliction. Because the purpose of affliction is to manifest his glorious might. So let's look at adversity, not from the viewpoint of wanting immunity, but let's look at it from the viewpoint of having God manifest his glorious might. If you go on your knees before God and you enter into the calling of an intercessor by faith in the darkness of the environment that you and I may find ourselves sometimes, you will begin to hear things from God that you will be astonished he can say to you. There are times that God allows the adversary to prevail seemingly. And the only reason why he allows the adversary to prevail seemingly is because he can bring to naught the methodia or the wiles of the adversary. But he must sometimes show himself to be foolish and weak if this is what is going to be accomplished in our life. Read the story in Exodus. It's historical. People say, oh, it doesn't happen here. It happens in principle in other ways. What happened at the end of Exodus 14? Read the beginning and then read the end. What happens? That's what I used to do initially when I used to, before I became a believer, or sometimes when you were a believer. It's a great movie. In Hindi movies, come for the first 5 minutes, you'll see it, and come for the 5 minutes in the end, you'll know the whole story. Because it's the same thing. I'd say 20 saal pehle in the end. Two brothers come, they get lost, you know, duplicate here, this, that, and people go, because you come in the beginning and you go in the beginning of Exodus 14, then you go in the end. What happens in the end? What happens? Read it for your home assignment. I have to close 11:30. I'm not going beyond it. What is the testimony of Israel in the beginning when they see that Pharaoh's army is coming in the seas? But what are they doing? What are they saying? You see, the miracles in Egypt did not convince them of their deliverance. Because they thought their life is going to be khushi. The song in Hindi, khushi khushi manao, khushi khushi manao, bolo ye. What? Huh? Masiya ki jai jai ho. And then Pharaoh's chariots, khushi khushi manao, khushi khushi manao. And the chariots, pagal aadmi Moses, they started khushi khushi, the song changed. Pharaoh, wilderness has shut them in. You see, you made a decision to follow God, right? You made a decision. You had a call. You made a decision. You gave up this, you gave up that, you gave up this. By the way, all that we give up is nothing. Huh? Just I'll tell you, sometimes people say, give a big testimony. You know, he gave up. I said, psh, psh. Don't like that. No, no. In the light of what we have seen, we have received much greater than what we left behind. Come on. Now, here is Captain Felix. He was in the army. Now, he's Captain Felix in the army. But what is he in God's army? I hope Lieutenant General. Sometimes we give ourselves less value than the value that God ascribes to us. He did this. He did that. You know who he was. He did that. He did this. Hey, listen, I'm looking for the prosperity of the believer. And by the way, I don't have to hide anything if God promotes me. You understand? Tomorrow if God gives me a Mercedes Benz, I'll get it here for one day, then I'll sell it. Because I don't need it. That money can go to 5 different churches for missions. But I owned it for? Both ho gaya. Enough. I don't know why people do not want to boast about God prospering them. Pastor, I'm going through amazing hell. Okay. Please come to me when you're going through amazing heaven. Adversity is the only thing that we talk about in our lives. I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. How about talking about deliverance? How about talking about God interested in prospering his saints? Now, I'm not talking because you have to build a church building down. No? Suddenly people say his message is changing. I am not talking of that. I am talking of an area where God is interested in the deliverance of his people, and at the same time in doing it, he brings his enemy to naught. He could have taken Moses to the Red Sea and all the guys are like, you know, he would have flattened the Red Sea after close and made it like ice, like in Europe. You know, when they tell me that in Europe, when I go there, that this whole lake is freezing and it becomes ice, I will not believe it, because when I go into it, I will have to like... And those guys are skating, and I live in the fear. What if one place cracks somewhere? Then they'll have to fish me out. And all these thoughts go in, and I stand far away. You guys skate? Oh, yeah, we do it. Just skating, and they check the ice, and it's thick. And I'm like, no way, I'm going there. But they're so used to it. God, if he doesn't take us through times of adversity, we will never get to encourage those that basically will be called behind us. If our message is all soft and peddly and fluffy and all kinds of stuff, then when the first crack that happens, mommy, what about daddy? Bringing up kids all soft, give them everything they want. Anything is not their fault. Teachers correct them, the teacher is bad. Sunday school teachers say something, they are bad. Everyone's bad. The kid grows up fluffy and puffy. And the girl goes, becomes a teenager guy. One wink. Pow. Hypnosis. No, they all go through that. Hormonal change, imbalance, everything. It's all a part of our design in the Christian life. But you know what? God created us like that. Instead of condemning, slandering, instead of going behind the scenes, how about training our kids? How about training our people to reign in this life through one man Christ? So what if someone fails? So what if someone blows it? So what if someone is scared that they believe that someone is entangled in? It is our way to show them who our God really is. That's it. Has the wilderness shut them in? Pharaoh G, you're going to lose 600 chariots for nothing. You should have not pursued them. Long time ago in a Time magazine, a long time ago it came in the front page, Genesis Revealed. You know what they found in that place, the Red Sea? Chariot wheels. Archaeologists, what did they find? You know that story that I told you, you know, about it, about that professor and that student, you remember that? He's sitting down there, he's reading his Bible before the class, and the professor comes and says, wow, this is like awesome, what happened? It's amazing how 1.5 million people can cross the Red Sea. The prophet said, that's a myth. And the guy doesn't say anything. Next day, he's sitting down there, the next class, he says, this is even more myth. What is that? A professor said, that, you know, the, it was like 1 feet of water, he said. They crossed the Red Sea, it was 1 feet of water. Next day, this is amazing. A professor, what next? It's amazing that 600 chariots were buried in 1 feet of water. If the degree of difficulty is great, the degree of God's power is greater. You know, people write themselves off, then others write themselves off. You know what God does? He releases the plan to them. Don't calculate time lost with future decisions. I'm closing for the third time. Don't calculate time lost with future decisions. How many years in Egypt? 400 years of slavery in Egypt is equal to my confession of faith as I stand on the banks of the Red Sea. Is it? They were overwhelmed with being in bondage so much that they continued to think bondage in the future. They were not in a position of making a statement, a claim, a confession that our God is with us. Moses doesn't need to say, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. The people, 1.5 plus million people, have to stand up and collectively say, see the salvation of the Lord. That confession in the atmosphere must have caused confusion in the chariots of Pharaoh as he's approaching them, not in the Red Sea. Listen to me. Our confession of praise causes confusion in the camp of the enemy as they approach us. God will deliver us from them, but God wants our praises to resound in such a manner that it will create confusion, that the confusion doesn't have to be in the chariots in the Red Sea. It has to be as they are marching towards the people, because the angel in the pillar of cloud by day is standing between them and their enemies. We are not the ones running away from Him. We are the ones following God. Hello? One biryani free Felix today for me. We are not the ones running away from them. We are the ones following God. If they are attacking us from the back, that's God's problem, not mine. If you are following God in obedience and your critics are going after you, you are not turning back to look at what they have to say. You are living for what God is saying to you, to obey Him. God will deal with them. Hello? That's why we are here alive after salvation. Others would have been raptured immediately. God wants us to be trained in the kingdoms to understand there is a plan and a purpose I have for you. And the plan and purpose I have for you is not to be victimized on the earth. And if that happens to you, I will show you what the other side is all about. So let's believe in turnarounds. Let's believe in reversals. Let's believe in rising over. Let's believe in victory. If you have a plan in your life and God is showing you something, don't act like a baboon. Go forward in faith. Don't worry about economy down, this, that. You just get up. If God said something to you, be a man and a woman and stand up in faith and accept the challenge that God has put in your heart. Don't worry if the enemy says, we have set them in. The Red Sea is nothing for God. Yes or no? Yes or no? Pastor, I'm preparing you, because when Pastor Shibeli comes, he'll sandpaper us. And he will, when he speaks, and I only believe that when he comes and when he preaches, and there will be callings that you will know you are a part of. You will not just sit at home as a housewife and say, I'm a housewife, idli, sambar, I have to do morning, evening and night. No, you give your husband the idlis. No, I'm not saying, you will recognize, I pray, in the coming weeks, and you will be stirred up in the faith to be what God has wants you to. And men and women of God will enlist, come to Bible school, come by faith, relocate to another place, trust God for a vision, plant churches, believe. There are people that need help. How many of you will believe that? Don't let the Red Sea hinder you from Canaan. See, allow God to part it for you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Bless each one that has come today by faith. Inspire us with your love, your promises. You are a God that encourages us day in and day out. In our adversities, you give us songs in the night. The psalmist said, I was asleep, but I was awake, but you were still with me. And you keep watch over our souls. what opportunities we have to grow in the kingdom of God, to recognize that you are training and teaching us. The hardships are necessary for our discipleship, so that iron sharpeneth iron, we pray. Bless each one in the body, special. If you are not here, if you are here rather, and you have not believed in Christ to be saved, accept him as your Savior today. Say, Jesus, forgive me, save me, cleanse me of my sins, wash me in your blood that you shed for my sins. Jesus, I believe in you. I receive eternal life as a gift. If you have not done that before, you can slip your hand and we will pray with you. Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me, forgive me, cleanse me. Father, we thank you. Forgive me, cleanse me, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you're dismissed. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Be careful of the ceiling. Praise him in this place. Hallelujah.